The West Live.
The West Live
with Ben O'Shea.
While other states are racing to hit vaccination targets, here in WA, we've seen a slowdown in the arms race. Joining me now from UWA is Dr. Katie Atwell, senior lecturer with extensive global research into vaccine rejection. Good morning, Dr. Atwell.
Good morning.
And so is it concerning that jabs in WA have fallen by 20% in the past month?
So I guess it's a little bit concerning because I think what we're probably starting to see is the early uptakers, the early adopters, the excited people booking in. I think we will continue to see a surge coming through now as teenagers can get vaccinated. I know a lot of people are telling me they've booked their teenagers in for the school holidays. So, you know, obviously it's difficult to get the kids out of school and off to the vaccine clinic during the week. But I expect we'll start to see some good uptake amongst our teenagers that might see our rates pick up again. But then again, once we've got through the eager early uptakers in that group, we may again find ourselves in a situation where people are still either complacent or they are facing access barriers, which of course doesn't just mean I can't get to the vaccine clinic easily, but, you know, I'm working, I'm a casual, I'm worried about being sick after the vaccine and missing out on pay, I'm a busy single parent, I can't afford to be sick with my kids around. So lots of factors that might mean people will take a little bit longer to get those appointments booked, or that they might need some additional assistance.
The complacency is interesting. Like it's, I can't believe anybody would look at what's happening in New South Wales and Victoria and be complacent and not just want to get the jab straight away. And do you think that there's any way to look at this slowdown and think that, you know, maybe there are more anti-vaxxers in the community than we previously thought?
I don't think so, no. I think there are lots of people who will get vaccinated when push comes to shove. So, for example, in our coronavax research that we've done at the University of Western Australia, we spoke to a pharmacist who said they were not going to get vaccinated until it was mandatory, but if it became mandatory for them to do so, then they would. So everybody's, in terms of attitude, so not in terms of those people we discussed who've got genuine reasons that it's a little bit hard for them to get vaccinated quickly, for people who are holding out, they may have their line that they're willing to cross at a certain point. So, for example, for this pharmacist, it was, when someone makes me, I'll go and do it then.
Yeah, right. And so given what we're talking about here, there are some people who there's a convenience factor and they have some life issues that get in the way of being vaccinated. Do you think WA will struggle to hit targets of 80% or even 90% vaccination that Premier Mark McGowan has pointed to as being a trigger for relaxing restrictions?
I think we might. And the reason I say that is because at the moment, it's all about how you set up the incentive structure and what we're working towards. So, the eastern states obviously are working towards an incentive whereby they can reopen. So they get somewhere much better when they reopen. The actual horrible truth of this is that when we get to the vaccination rates that allow us to reopen, our lives are going to get worse. We're going to be back to wearing masks. We may have to be social distancing again. Once COVID comes into our beautiful state, we will actually be facing challenges. And so I think unless we actually get told that it's happening on X date, we need to be at X percentage by a certain time. If we're not there, then there might be vaccine passports or other kinds of mandate that might apply to actually get us over the line. I think there might be people who are like, well, I'm not in any mad rush to reopen. And I understand those sentiments because, you know, and this is why I'm really starting to talk about this. We have to prepare ourselves for what's going to happen when we reopen. And yes, the best way we can prepare for that is to vaccinate as many people as possible. But when it happens, it's not going to be pretty. And that's a tough thing to swallow. It's a really tough thing for the government to talk about. You know, the McGowan government's political capital has rested on the glorious lives we're living. You know, I can't talk to my vaccine social science counterparts in the eastern states about what I'm doing on the weekend. I spent yesterday kayaking down in Yundurup. Like, life is glorious here, and people in the eastern states can, you know, they're so traumatised and tired and exhausted, they can hardly bear to hear how wonderful our lives are, but it can't last.
Yeah, well, even in a place like Singapore, where they have a very high rate of vaccination, they're now experiencing another wave with the Delta strain sweeping through that city-state. And now they're talking about booster shots. And even I think the leader of Singapore has had his third COVID shot.
So I think, yeah, boosters are looking like they're starting to occur in other places. I think our health authorities are refraining, probably correctly, from talking about boosters until they've got dose one and two into the population, which, as we're discussing, is not as easy as you might think. So I think boosters will lie on the cards for all of us as well. But obviously at this point, we need to get our population vaccinated, because as much as I talk about that situation of our borders opening as sort of being a setback in terms of our freedoms and our lives that we're enjoying, you know, we really cannot stay in the current situation that we're in. It's not sustainable. And for every person who's having a grand old time like me, there's people who are not getting to, you know, have grandparents meet new babies. That has economic implications, because often grandparents come and help with the care of children so their parents can keep working. So there's so many knock-on implications of us staying locked down and closed as a state, and we really can't afford to do that for much longer. And we have the tools now to get out of that scenario, which is vaccination. But it's a tricky proposition when right now life is sweet for so many of us.
Yeah, but even despite that, there were still some so-called freedom protesters here in Perth on the weekend. And that march, it was mostly, I guess, the dyed-in-the-wool anti-vax protesters, some people who are probably just general agitators who get involved in these types of things. But also front and centre were two nurses in uniform, and the Premier and Health Minister have expressed their disappointment to see that. Do you think it sets back the cause when the general public see people such as midwives marching against what they call coercion?
Look, I think it's really sad. I've seen the pictures and seen the footage of the protest. I think it is sad, and I think it was foolish of the midwives to go out in their work uniform. I think that's a very bad look. I'm guessing they were looking to communicate that they were health professionals in uniform, but it's not a great look for their employer. Midwives do amazing work with pregnant women. They are such important and valued health professionals, and we know that their recommendations about vaccination are really important. So it is disappointing, and I hope that these midwives, kind of think about what they've done, and I hope that their employer raises with them the inappropriateness of going to that march in work uniform.
Mm. And do you think it's still, like, obviously the coercion they're talking about is mandatory vaccination in the health sector. We've seen it in aged care. They're talking about it in mining as well. Do you see an inevitability to that coming in across a variety of sectors?
Well, it is coming in for health workers, as we know. So these midwives, I guess for them, the rubber has hit the road. It is actually now going to be affecting their employment conditions. And if they don't want to be vaccinated, then they're feeling that. I guess the pity in their case is that I'd like to see, you know, them also being concerned about the safety and well-being of their families and infants in their care, and not making those people sick. So I think that's a duty of care issue. Is it going to come in other sectors? Look, it seems to be, and it's coming in two ways. So it's coming in with government, as in the case we're talking about, but as we saw last week with Crown, it's also coming in with the private employers getting ahead of the government and actually introducing their own mandates. So, and certainly other companies and other organisations are also getting ahead of the curve and bringing in these policies to protect their own staff and workers and clients as well. So I think this move is going to continue. And what I'm now starting to try and say when I talk to people about this is, look, you know, if you're sitting there thinking, I'll hold out, I'll quit my job, I'll find another way to not stay vaccinated, that will work to a point. But then what about when you can't go to, you know, the casino precinct? And then what about when you can't do this? And what about when you can't do that? And what about when you can't get on a plane? So I realise that for people who are not wanting to be vaccinated, it's just going to feel more and more like they're being squeezed. But also, I think what it demonstrates is that, you know, you're going to have to kind of get on board with this if you want to participate, at least in the short and medium term, in regular life. And I hope that those people who are feeling hesitant and are feeling worried can talk to their health professionals, can get some accurate information about the safety and efficacy of these vaccines and about the severity of the disease that they protect against.
Yeah.
And for those who are, you know, rusted on and are not going anywhere, you know, as they will say, it's a free country and they can hold those views, but they will also come up against systems and individuals and organisations that hold different views, and that will be unfortunately their kind of cross to bear, I suppose.
Yeah, and hopefully they increasingly become the minority. Dr. Katie Atwell, Senior Lecturer at UWA, specialising in vaccination, thanks for your time again on The West Live.
Thanks for having me on the show.